Let's pray. Our kind Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit to us so that we can leave this building refreshed and encouraged that your love still stands and your promises are sure. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Most of us here in this room know who Anne Frank was, especially the history teachers. And for those who don't, I'm going to give you a little bit of history. Anne was born on June 12th, 1929, in Frankfurt, Germany. She was of Jewish origin. And as the Nazis were taking control of Germany in 1933, the Frank family moved to Amsterdam. However, they became trapped when the Nazis took control of the Netherlands, and the Frank family was forced to go into hiding. From 1942 until 1944, Anne kept a diary documenting her time while in hiding. In 1944, Anne and her family was betrayed and arrested by the Gestapo, and Anne was first taken to Auschwitz. Then later, she and her sister were transferred to the Bergen-Belsen concentration camp. There, they died of typhus in 1945. She was just 16. Anne's father, Otto, was liberated from Auschwitz, and after the war, returned to Amsterdam. There he was given Anne's diary and some other papers belonging to her. The diary was first published by Otto in 1947 under the title, The Diary of a Young Girl. So why is all this so important? I think it's because we have a young teenager who faced extreme adversity with quite a positive outlook on life. Here are just a few excerpts from her diary. I keep my ideals because in spite of everything, I still believe that people are really good at heart. How wonderful it is that nobody need wait a single moment before starting to improve the world. Whoever is happy will make others happy too. Think of all the beauty still left around you and be happy. And I don't think of all the misery, but of the beauty that still remains. Now we have to remember that here's a teenager, a young teenager, who should be enjoying her teen years, but is in hiding, fearing captures by the Nazis. Anne had no idea she would have such an influence on, at the very least, thousands of Jewish people, and at the most, millions of people around the world. She was so influential that at least three books have been published on her diary and other papers she wrote, and at least four films have been produced on her life. And in 1960, a museum was opened in her honor in the same building she spent in hiding. Between 2013 and 2014, the last year we have of visitor statistics, 1.3 million people visited the museum. It is so good to hear a baby cry, especially the ones from NAS. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines influencer as one who exerts influence, a person who inspires or guides the actions of others. While Anne Frank never knew it, she became one of the great influencers of post-World War II. And how about the greatest influencer of all time? Jesus not only influenced those around him, but has continued to do so for the past 2,000 or so years. He had thousands follow him while on earth. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 14, where we read verses 13 through 21. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish." And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied, and they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces of leftover. And this is the verse I want you to really listen to. And those who ate were about 5,000 men besides women and children. Can you imagine talking to a crowd of 5,000 men and add that, you know, at least another 5,000 women and children? That's 10,000 people he was talking to. Billy Graham never even did that at one time. He talked thousands, but not 10,000 people. Consider this. As we read for our scripture reading, Jesus' life consisted of more than what we read in the Gospels. He was a very busy influencer. Can you imagine in 3.5 years, when he started his ministry, that he did so many things that it wouldn't even fill books for around the world? You look at the Library of Congress. How many books are in the Library of Congress? Anybody give me a figure.
400,000.
At least. That's just in the Library of Congress. Jesus would have filled, the acts that Jesus did while he was on earth, would have filled the books that were in the Library of Congress and more. He was so much of an influencer that at the end of his ministry on earth, he inspired 120 followers to go to a room in Jerusalem and pray. Then on the day of Pentecost, those disciples went out and converted about 3,000 souls. And it didn't stop on the day of Pentecost. They went out and through great danger and persecution, spread the gospel to the then known world. Because of the influence Jesus had on them, they were able to influence a great many people. So that brings us to the point of what this sermon is about. What kind of influencers are we? Because whether we realize it or even want to be one, we are an influencer. Our words, our actions, even our personalities are influences to those we meet. Or are we the type of influencer that has a philosophy of do as I say, not as I do? You know, a person's actions in another's presence may be a lot different than they are in private. We can be a negative or positive influencer. And sometimes a negative one, even though we think we are doing good for Christ. I grew up in a small town in south central Michigan. In that town, there was this preacher in a large church that was a fire and brimstone preacher. I mean, you know, if you stood outside his church on Sunday morning, you could hear him preaching with all the doors and windows closed. You could hear how much he was a fire and brimstone preacher. Most of his parishioners loved him. And after the sermon, he would meet them at the door and take in all the accolades as the people left the church, all the while puffing on a large cigar. The first thing he would do when he walked out that building was light up that big old stogie, and he loved it. And there's even rumors that he had a reputation of telling some quite colorful jokes around town. His congregants thought that he was the best preacher they had ever heard. There were people who would follow him blindly along. And throughout history, we have had people who would follow leaders blindly right into defeat and destruction. You've all seen the History Channel shows, documentaries about World War II, and the thousands upon thousands of people that screamed their support for Adolf Hitler, leading them right into defeat and destruction. Up until the day that he committed suicide, these people were still fighting for Germany, for Hitler. I recall a story going around a few years ago about a police officer stopping a motorist for a traffic violation. And as the officer got close to the driver's side window, he could hear the driver just cussing him out because he had stopped him for a traffic violation. I mean, these words were words that would make a sailor blush. Maybe even a Marine, you never know.
Probably not.
And so this officer, the driver rolled down the window, and this officer, he was standing there trying to tell him why he was stopped. It was just a minor thing, you know, maybe a $50 ticket, but this driver was just raking him over the coals with all kinds of language. Finally, the officer asked him to get out of the car, and I guess common sense came to the driver all of a sudden because he complied, got out of the car, and the guy says, "What's the deal? Why are you asking me to get out of the car?" And the officer says, "I'm detaining you because I believe that you're driving a stolen vehicle." And the driver says, "What are you talking about?" with a little bit more expletives. He says, "What are you talking about?" And the officer said, "Well, when I approached your vehicle, I saw this sign of the Christianity, the fish on the back of it, and a couple bumper stickers with references to the Bible, you know, Bible verses and everything. And I thought, the way you're acting, you can't be the owner of this vehicle." Well, I kind of doubt if that story ever happened, but it kind of shows you of an example of the wrong impression you can get from someone's actions and words. This person was not being a very good influencer for those bumper stickers on the back of his truck or car. Matthew 7:21 through 23. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." We have to ask ourselves sometimes, are we in danger of hearing those words from Christ? Do we think we are doing the best we can do for Christ? Do we think that we are doing what we should be doing to influence people to Jesus? But our true actions are saying different. Our true actions are saying, I'm not even going to look at you. It's quite easy to be an influencer. It's quite hard to be an influencer for God. Just look at the life of Paul. After being converted, he was persecuted, falsely accused, beaten, thrown in prison, and finally put to death. Have you ever heard of anyone being put to death because they were an influencer for Satan? So you ask, I can't do anything. You know, they aren't going to build a museum for me. They aren't going to, you know, write thousands and thousands of books on what I've done in my life. So you say, you know, what can I do to be an influencer to God? Let me read something. I'm going to try and pick it up here in my phone now, because I don't normally use phones and laptops and stuff. I like to have it written out, because I'm afraid that I get in the middle of something and my phone or something is going to crash. And I'm not very good at ad-libbing. You know, you notice that I've got pages up here that I read from. I'm not very good at ad-libbing. And so hopefully this will work. Some influencers with a simple message. This guy from Australia bought a motorhome, and it was a used motorhome. And as he was cleaning it out, looking through, you know, stuff in the motorhome, he came across this little note. In the note, it says, "Hi, my name is Poppy, and I am 10 years old. This used to be our caravan, and we traveled half of Australia in it. This was my bed, the top bunk, and it was very good. This drawer, which is where you found this letter, was where I kept all of my special things that I couldn't leave behind when we went traveling. I hope that you enjoy this caravan very much. I am grade 5, and I am very good at art. I have a message for you. Follow your dreams, and if you have the choice between being right or being kind, choose kind. Enjoy the caravan." The guy that found the note posted it on social media. Says the post went totally viral thanks to Poppy's profound advice, racking up over 90,000 reactions, 5,100 shares, and 1,500 comments. In the comments, many others shared notes and other things they've either found hidden or come across that have left a mark on their lives. Let me read another one. This other one, "We don't know each other." This is found on the windshield of this person's car. "We don't know each other, and we'll probably never meet, but I just wanted to say I hope you have a wonderful Christmas and New Year. The world gets caught up in so much negativity and criticism, so I'm trying to break that pattern and share some good vibes. The little things we do can sometimes have a huge impact on others, so never underestimate a nice word, smile, or note left for someone. I hope life is wonderful for you. Remember, it all starts in our minds. Merry Christmas, and keep smiling." And this last one, this one I like. "Hello, whoever you are or whatever is happening in your life right now, remember that you are good, you are loved, you are capable of great things. Everyone needs a little encouragement now and then. And then while it's nice to get in from the people you love, it can be a wonderful surprise to get when you least expect it." Leaving a simple note in a drawer in a motorhome or on the windshield is the easiest way to influence people to have a good life. And you notice on all of these that there was never a word of, about religion or any Bible verses, except the one on the windshield started out, "Happy Sunday." That was it. So you need not ask the question, "What can I do?" Use your head. Think of things. Everybody can think of something to do. We don't have much time left to decide which side we want to be an influencer for. If a teenager and even a 10-year-old girl can do it, all of us can. We must decide now what side we're going to use our words, actions, and personalities for. It's easy influencing for Satan, hard for Christ, but think of the rewards and if the hard work is really worth it. Thank you.